Today on Real Radio.
Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. For time's sake, I won't read it. You go look at it later. Jesus warns us about a man. He spoke a parable and he said there was a man who had very fertile ground, and the ground was producing all kinds of weed and everything. So the man built a barn and built a barn and built a barn. And it was such a great increase. The man sat back and he said, "Man, my soul can take it easy now. I've got so much wealth and so much stuff. I need to build bigger barns. I'm so blessed. And I'm just going to kick back here, count everything, and take it easy. I'm so blessed." The man was selfish. Jesus says, "I tell you that the word was spoken to that man." He says, "Tonight, you fool, your soul is required of you."
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called The Apostles' Farewell Address. Paul, one of the primary focuses in this New Testament narrative, had quite the post-conversion ministry, and this series within a series looks at chapter 20. Which is largely comprised of a formal declaration Paul made to a crowd at Ephesus announcing his return to Jerusalem, where what he awaited was not quite clear. Let's continue in this series called The Apostles' Farewell Address. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
A false prophet will have all of this fruit under the wool. But all you have to do if you're in the ministry is take a squeeze of their fruit. And if it's plastic, then you've got a real fake there. And you grab them by the paws and by the fangs and you throw them out. It's not easy. Watching over a fellowship. If you're in the church, if you're a lamb, we're all lambs of God. What do? Watch out in time as the weather of the word begins to work on these guys. God will expose them. It's his will that they be exposed. We need to do this. The church at large is so blind to exposing these things because nobody wants to deal with it. I think it's not, listen, I may offend somebody. I don't think it's the church's job to necessarily expose wolves. I think it's the pastoral position to expose wolves. And it's the heart of the people that should be listening and judging by the word. It's safe to say that 90%, maybe 95% of the Christian TV that you turn on a certain station is wolfy material. It barks rather than bleats like a lamb. The next thing is in verse 30. He's given us a warning about the future regarding these things, that there's dangers not only around us, there's dangers among us. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there will also be false prophets, wolves among you, the people, even as there was false teachers among us or among the others, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." 1 John says that they were right in the midst of us, but they went out from us. They were among us, and God drove them away. False teaching, leading people astray. And listen, these people they're very convincing. Satan knows what he's doing. And I can understand this morning you're thinking, well, this is heavy stuff. You darn tootin', it's heavy stuff. This is big time stuff as a church if we're going to survive. A lot of you love this fellowship, and I'm glad for it. You want to survive? We've got to be smart about spiritual things and how to detect these guys. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says they'll have a form of godliness, but down deep inside they're denying the power of God. From such people, turn away. For this sort of guys creep into houses, lead people astray. And the final thing in this section, He gives us warning about the future regarding the dangers that are within. Serious, serious dangers. Verse 31, that are within. He says, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you night and day. He wept about it. He was urgent about it. He begins to warn us. Now look, under this section right here, we're going to look at five sins that are can be within us. Everybody write these down. Very important. And we're going to break up the routine a little bit to cover them, and then we'll come back. He warns us about the future and the dangers within us. Verses 31 to 35, watch this. He lists five sins that will threaten the future of this church, its leadership, and its people. Number one is carelessness. That's why he says watch out. In verse 31, the word watch out or watch means to keep awake, be alert, be vigilant. If you and I are not alert and vigilant as a Christian, then we're going to become careless. There's a danger of falling asleep at the wheel. The soldier keeping guard is what it suggests. Listen, who has heard about battles? Who has heard about ambushes? That's you and I as a Christian. Have you? I thank God I have never been involved in a church split. And growing up at Calvary Costa Mesa, I guess it'd be kind of hard to split a church of 28,000 people. But I thank God I've never been involved in one. Well, listen, if you're not watching like a soldier, like the word says, and suggest that you've heard about ambushes and you've heard about, you haven't been involved in one, you've heard about it. The Bible says keep watch like a soldier. You've heard about them through the briefings, through the information, through the communications. I've heard about wolves coming in, and I've heard about things in my own life that could come, and I'm standing guard, and I don't want to become careless. That's a danger that you and I fight with. We need to watch out. Jesus says in Matthew 24:43, but understand this, that if the house, but if the owner of the house would have known that the time of the robber was coming, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Can you imagine? Phone rings. Hello? Yeah, hi, this is burglar Bob, and I'm going to rip you guys off. Oh, well, what time are you going to rip us off? Well, about 2:15 in the morning. Thanks for calling. We'll put some cookies and milk out for you. Are you kidding? What if somebody said to you today, left a note on your door, I'm going to rip you off sometime this week? What are you going to do about it? Well, you're going to call an alarm company, for one thing. Get an alarm installed. If you can't get that, you're going to stay up all night and all day, aren't you? Jesus says, listen, you guys better be watching. You better be alert, because you don't know when some slimer is going to creep in and try to rip you off. Matthew 26:41, Jesus says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Same word. We need to be watching, staying awake. Mark 13:37 says, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Wow. We're to be guarding against carelessness. He says another way of preventing that is to remember. He says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember. The word remember means to exercise your memory, to recall, to rehearse, to mention to yourself. What? The things that he's talking about. That the church is going to come under attack, that you're going to become a morsel, if possible, in the mouth of the enemy. We need to be careful. Hebrews 13:7, we've covered this at length these last few weeks on Wednesday nights. The same word is here. Remember those who pastor over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. That's a call for us to remember that God uses ministers to watch over the body. So technically, I come from a long line of sheepdogs as a pastor. Since when? Since Jesus himself, who calls people into the ministry. We are to be sheepdogs as watchers over the flock. Look at verse 32. The second sin that we need to be careful about is shallowness. Verse 32, he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. The word is warning us against being shallow. We need to be well-balanced in prayer and in the word. The third sin that we need to be careful about as believers is found in verse 33, covetousness. Probably the greatest sin committed in Southern California is covetousness. I want one, I want two, I want 10. I want a bigger one. He's got one, I want four. Covetousness, the word means to us the consuming and controlling desire for things. They have one, why can't I have one? Why can't I have one? 1 Timothy 3:3. Am I going too quick? I'm asking God right now, silently, to break the clock and slow it down. 1 Timothy 3:3. The Bible says that the overseer, the pastor, is not to be given to alcohol, not a violent person, not desirous of money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. That means not longing for things. The fourth sin that we need to watch out for as Christians and as leaders is found in verse 34. He says in verse 34, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. As Christians, we need to protect ourselves against being lazy. There wasn't a self-serving attitude by Paul. I'm the pastor. Give me this front seat. I'm the minister here. You guys, go get me some water. What an oxymoron. It won't fit. I'm the minister. Serve me. That's not right. If you're the pastor, you are to be serving, not self-serving. And we need to be careful that we don't get into a mode of laziness. As far back, I don't know how you are and how it was in your home, but as far back as I can remember, my mother, I never saw my mom, I've never seen my mother sitting on a chair with her feet up, ever in my life. I'm not kidding when I tell you that. My mom was cleaning constantly the house. If she wasn't cleaning, you could smell the awesome food cooking. If that wasn't going on, she was at the store doing something, preparing. And I can say this now about her because she's in heaven and she's got a new set of hands. But I remember being a little kid looking at my mother's hands and the veins were hanging out of my mother's hands. Even when I was a little kid, her hands were so weathered and so tattered from hard work. Her knuckles so swollen. Her hands looked like the hands of someone twice her age. And the reason why that was true is because of hard work. She served us to the maximum. She was never lazy. When I think of not being lazy, I see my, for some reason off the right side of my face, I see this big hand, what was big to me, as a little kid, this hand totally weathered, holding my hand. Hardworking. Paul's hands had glue on them, tent, spike, pokes in them. He was a tent maker. Verse 35 warns us about being selfish. One of the sins, the fifth and final sin that he's warning us about here is in verse 35, that we can become selfish. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We can't be selfish people, and our culture teaches us to be selfish. And by the way, this is a beatitude that's not listed in the Gospels. Jesus said it. It's just not recorded. Isn't it interesting that in your Bible it is printed in red, telling us that it's a name of or a statement of Christ himself, but it's not recorded in the Gospels. But it's so common that they knew it. Years later, Paul remembered, and Luke remembered. Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. For time's sake, I won't read it. You go look at it later. Jesus warns us about a man. He spoke a parable and he said there was a man who had very fertile ground and the ground was producing all kinds of wheat and everything. So the man built a barn and built a barn and built a barn. And it was such a great increase. The man sat back and he said, man, my soul can take it easy now. I've got so much wealth and so much stuff. I need to build bigger barns. I'm so blessed. And I'm just going to kick back here, count everything, and take it easy. I'm so blessed. The man was selfish. Jesus says, I tell you, that the word was spoken to that man. He says, tonight, you fool, your soul is required of you. Jesus warns us, don't hoard up gifts to yourself and hide them for you. If God blesses you, the reason why he's blessing you is to turn it over, turn it out, to be a channel for his blessings, not to store them up. I want to say this in all seriousness. Some of you were here Wednesday night. You heard the announcement that we made about where this church is going and all that stuff. And a lot of people are excited, and we should be. God's doing a neat thing. But listen, it scares me. God's blessing this body. The crops are growing. It just so happens that the place that we're looking to build looks like a barn. That frightens me when I read this parable. Oh, man, we're growing. We need a bigger place to meet in. Chapel Creek Christian School, the schooling thing here. We need more room. Okay. The women's ministry, we need more room. The worship group wants a bigger stage. We need more seats. We need room. Oh, we need a bigger barn. Watch out. Always, always sharing the blessing. If he's blessing, make sure it's a conduit to throw the blessings out to the people, to the community. Don't say, wow, look at this barn that we have built. God says, you fool. It's a dangerous thing. We are not going to make it. I should just end with this. Let's just go a little bit more. Let's do verse 32, okay? Back after the listing of the sins that he warns us about, let's go back to verse 32, is our second point. He gives us warning about the future, and he gives us warning now about ourselves. Verse 32. He says to us, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." The word commend here in the Greek is to place alongside. I'm going to place you now alongside God. And you guys, if you've got kids or if you're watching kids, it's this kind of a thing. You got your child and you're taking them over and you're plugging them right into their little bed or their little classroom or their little tractor or their bicycle. The word commend is to place alongside. The word can also be translated, get this, to put in safekeeping as a deposit or to tuck as a child into bed. Paul is saying, you guys, I'm tucking you now into God. I'm done with you. I've done my job. I'm tucking you now into bed with the Lord. He warns us about our position in Christ, that we better understand it. I commend you to God. I direct you to his pastoral care. And it says unto the grace, not only to God, but to the grace of God. To the grace, to the word of grace. The word grace is divine impression, undeserved pleasure or favor. God, his grace is undeserving. He says, I commend you to the word of his grace. Actually, I commend you to the word of his grace, the Bible. Be in the Bible. Why? Look at the next line. It says, well, it's able to build you up. Are you depressed? Are you bummed? Are you sinking? Listen, the grace of God will build you up. Not only build you up, make you strong and able. It says that it's going to give us an inheritance. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, give thanks to the Father. Listen, everyone, carefully. You can wake your friends up now. This is important right here. Give thanks to the Father who has, past tense, qualified, past tense, us, to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, Jack, the enemy's really tearing me up. Listen, then get a Bible and hit him with it. He doesn't have control over you anymore. You may be letting him play with your head. Pick up the Bible and know it. Pull out. Don't you love those swashbuckler movies when they pull it? You can hear the sword come out of the sheath. And it kind of rings. It's like, uh-oh. That sounds nasty. Doesn't it sound powerful? When it, pull it out. Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says, he has done all this stuff, past tense, for us. Lay hold of the weaponry, people, and use it. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. If you're a believer, and so many of you raised your hands a little while ago, you've been translated into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, first of all, you can't earn it. You can't bargain it. You can't deserve it. It's freely given. It's the word of his grace. It's given freely. It's by spiritual birth, not earthly birth. And it's by moving into that place that God has provided. I want to end with this story. I mean it. I will end. Right now, for my brother and my sister and myself, there's over, well, it was $5 million in 1988. There's $5 million that is legally reserved for my brother, my sister, and myself that was left from my mother's family. $5 million. That's a lot of money. There's a problem. It's more than that now. It's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The Bank of America has custody of it. The economy in Brazil is so bad that there's a law that keeps the money from coming to America. The attorneys in Santa Monica for Bank of America told us that if we want our money, we can have it. We just have to live in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. And in fact, there's a valley there that's a bunch of Americans. And it's a wonderful, beautiful place, a lot like California. Well, listen, it's not America, and my heart's not there anyhow. But it's on reserve, so to speak. You got it? If I'm going to spend it, the law says it's got to be kept within the economy because it's so fragile there. Well, I'm not going there. It's my choice. I'm not going there. But Jack, the blessings. Oh, and what? Hey, how is it going to glorify God? But I have to go there to experience the blessings. The Bible says that you have been translated into the kingdom of God. Thus, the blessings of the kingdom are at your fingertips. You don't have to go to Sao Paulo. You have them now where you're at by what Christ has done. And you're to receive that and walk in it now, where no one can tamper with, break in, and steal.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called The Apostle's Farewell Address. Now, this is actually a mini-series by that title, starting with a look at Acts chapter 20. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue. Now, if you're a regular listener to Real Radio, get in touch and let us know. You can certainly write to us and be among those who correspond and encourage Pastor Jack. There's more than one way to get in touch. You may write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can click on the tab that reads Reaction to get an idea of what other people are writing in with. If you need to get in touch for any other reason, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.